Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of the For Your Scenes Fire American Soccer Show on Sunday night, February 21st. Members of CONMEBOL and CONCACAF, those who were not pilfered by the police or by the U.S. government, however you want to call it, conducted the Copa America Centenario draw at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. And we got our four groups of four already drawn into their respective groups, and it's going to be very interesting summer here in the United States. Joined tonight by Juan Mesaldario, of course, Spanish language newspaper talking about soccer and football. And joining me, a fresh new voice here, Michael Schwartz from Metro Soccer Nation here in New York City. Gentlemen, welcome to the show, and glad to have you guys.
It's good to be on the air. Hello?
Yep, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank
Juan,
you for having me on.
No problem at all. Juan, let's go to you first, obviously. This tournament is obviously the oldest continental tournament in the world for football, soccer, you know, over 100 years of the Copa America, especially for the Confederation of CONMEBOL. What is it like to not only follow what's been going on in past tournaments or wonderful, but to have it here in the United States for the first time ever outside of the continent of South America?
Well, I was actually... It comes in a period when, like, after all these corruption scandals, it comes. I guess the timing is kind of good. I mean, there's some skepticism still, in especially over there in South America, about the tournament. Some people definitely see it as a that is more like an exhibition. Soccer tournament, you know, more than an official one. But I hear other voices that also believe that it's a good way to begin to think about maybe a possible unification for the tournament. So it creates, like, it includes both confederations and move forward to a new format. Like, some people is really excited about having more teams and having different soccer cultures. I mean, the continent has a lot of things to offer. You have, like, the South Americans, which are divided in the countries from the north part of South America against the ones in the south. And then you have the Central American teams, you have the North American teams, and you have the Caribbean teams. It's like different cultures and different visions of how to play the sport. So in that sense, it's like a lot of people is excited about having that format, and they look forward to replicate it in the future and not just keep it as a CONMEBOL tournament.
It would be interesting to see if that would happen, that maybe the Gold Cup would go away and we would have Copa America from North to South. Michael, obviously, we were there at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I say things about how that production was, but, you know, I want people to know from your voice, you know, in your mind, and, you know, I think I've said this to you when we were there, this was our first time ever seeing a live draw being done right in front of our faces, obviously. I mean, we always watch what happens with World Cup preliminary draw for all. An draw, you know, you finally got that opportunity to see all of this happen in the Hammerstein Ballroom on Sunday night.
Yeah, well, I think out of all my takeaways from being a part of that event, one of the key moments that's going to really stick out in my mind is, you know, actually having to be in the crowd when Columbia was the final team drawn into Group A and kind of hearing the intense cry from the crowd of bewilderment, disbelief, and shock, and that once again the U.S. Had placed themselves in another tough group. And yeah, it's definitely a special experience to have been there and cover the team and such like that. It's you know, it was a very glitzy, glamorous affair. But I definitely can agree with what Juan was saying about how this Copa America, you know, could be viewed a little less seriously by some of the South American teams, you know, considering it's the first ever Copa America played outside the South American continent. And, you know, as they're playing in the U.S., you know, it could be seen as really an opportunity to just try and take advantage of the lucrative American market, both in terms of American interest and all the foreign people who would take an interest in the Copa America in the United States. And also, too, I think for the teams, the fact that there's actually no Confederations Cup place on the line for actually winning this particular Copa America, unlike last year's and all the previous ones, I think that's also maybe in the back of the minds of some of the coaches and players. In that, of course, winning the Copa America is still a very prestigious thing, but you know, it doesn't, you know, this particular one maybe doesn't quite have the same value as others. Now, that being said, of course, you know, let's just say hypothetically, Lionel Messi, you know, winning this particular Copa America could finally be an opportunity for him to get the just to be able to win something with the international team. So, I do feel that there's definitely a lot to play for, but I could also see like how this Copa America could be viewed and taken a little less seriously.
Yeah, that's probably true as well, but we'll see what happens this summer. Of course, the first match will be on Friday night, June the 3rd, as the United States will take on Colombia. Let's go ahead, gentlemen, and let's go ahead and review these groups, obviously drawn at the Hammerstein Ballroom by Alexi Lalas, who used to play for the United States, now current Fox Sports soccer analyst. Of course, LP Bay was there. Juan, yes. Carlos Valderrama, he still has the hair, and he still can dress well. I'll tell you, boy, he's a sharp dresser still from Colombia. Of course, Mario Kempes, the former Argentine national team player and the former flamboyant keeper from El Tri, Jorge Campos, was there as well. So those four men drew the balls of who is going into what group and which placement. Group A, of course, the United States as the hosts will have Colombia. They will have CONCACAF rivals Costa Rica and Paraguay. Juan, we'll go to you first. We all know about James Rodriguez being with Real Madrid at the moment. And, of course, Jose Pekerman, the top manager for Colombia. And as everyone quickly, the top two placed group winners, or wherever they're placed, will advance to the quarterfinals of the Copa America Centenario. So there will be a true quarterfinal with the top two teams in each group going into the quarterfinals. So Juan, what is it about Pekerman that the United States should be worried about? Because we know that they did very well in the last World Cup, which was in Brazil two summers ago.
And a lot of things have changed since then. Like, it's not the same team. Basically, like the core of the team lose form in the past 2 years, and like it's been very hard for Pekerman to put together a good team again. Obviously, everybody knows during the past World Cup qualifying, besides James Rodriguez, we had Falcao. And, yeah, the team didn't miss Falcao in the World Cup, but in the current qualifying, it's been a struggle to not have him. Unfortunately, I don't think that Falcao is going to be the same. I think Falcao's best years are over because of that injury. So the team has a problem with goals. Also, the fullbacks were key. Pablo Armero and Camilo Zúñiga, they are no longer in the team. The experience and leadership and the leader of the team, Mario Yepes, retired from soccer. And so that's a central defender. And like in South America, if you track South American soccer, you can talk, like those positions are key to have a experienced central defender and to have good fullbacks or fullbacks at their best form. So that's a lot of a struggle for Peckerman right now, trying to find replacements for these players. And James is not enough. James is not enough. Of course, Colombia can produce players, good players. But Colombia is a country like Peru, like Ecuador, like Chile, that is not like Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay, where they can produce players, a good generation, like all generations of players are good. For Colombia, it takes like 16 years to have a good generation, you know? It's like every 16 years they have one, or every 20 years. It's hard. Peckerman is a very good coach. I mean, the only thing positive about Colombian present now is that Peckerman is still there. He's a great, he really is a great mentor. He's a mentor of players, and he can find these players. So, but I had questions, Mark, for what this Colombian team is going to be. And actually, this group in particular is like the United States, Costa Rica, Colombia, and Paraguay are teams in transition. Of course, we have to say that for Jurgen Klinsmann, the transition has been very long. And you know, all the criticism that we have about his process with the United States. But the four teams are like kind of living similar situations. Like they lose leaders. They lose players that were leaders, and now they need to come with a new team, basically.
I agree with you, and I think, Mike, I don't know if you can agree with me or not, but I think Paraguay is kind of like in that department as well. I think they must be in transition too, because, you know, Michael, Roque Santa Cruz is no longer on the national team, and we don't know who are going to be the big boys coming from Paraguay. I mean, you know, we know about some from Colombia. But Paraguay right now is, you know, you got to lump them in into as one of those teams is saying, you know, that's a big question mark.
It is a big question mark. Like, sorry, Michael. Yeah, like, and they also the Seattle Sounders guy, Nelson Adeo Valdez, is another guy that has been with the team for 15 years. But this is, I mean, if he makes it to Copa America Centenario, I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Right, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I agree with what you guys are saying, because I think it definitely will be certainly a challenge for Paraguay to get out of this group. And, you know, like Colombia, there's definitely been speculation that Paraguay could be a team that brings not their best players to this particular upcoming Copa America and instead kind of tries to focus on developing players for the future. That being said, Paraguay is, I don't think it's going to be an easy out for any team. They're another, you know, functional basic team that looks to kind of get guys behind the ball, frustrate opponents, and take advantage of opponents on set pieces, which of course is, even though we hear lots about the possession-oriented philosophy of the U.S., the U.S., when push comes to shove, still operates under that as well. So it will definitely, when the U.S. play Paraguay, it's going to be it's going to be different for the U.S. because the U.S. may likely have more of the ball, but they're going to have to create more with it, and they're going to have to really try and take charge, while Paraguay will be maybe a little bit more reactionary, which is something I think in general with the U.S. is something to look out for, because, you know, more and more now, I think there's going to be higher expectations about the U.S. being able to start taking charge of games, especially against the teams that they're expected to beat, which, of course, doesn't always often pan out. Now, I think focusing on Colombia, too, Colombia obviously may not be as good as they were in Brazil, but for one thing, I don't think that the U.S. is as good as they are now as they were in Brazil either. And I still feel that Colombia can be quite dangerous with their technical skill and their pace, especially off counters. And frankly, I still think that Colombia's overall technical skill is probably ahead of what the U.S. has on offer, and I think they could still dominate the game. That being said, you know, Colombia, as Juan pointed out, is in transition. They have, you know, there are certain players that are out of the team, and I think, you know, like Paraguay, they could end up bringing players to more developed rather than more some of their finished products. And I especially could think that with certain guys like James, who, you know, could be facing playing a third straight, you know, major summer tournament, it just might be one too much for the guy. But I still think, even with maybe a slightly weakened Colombia team, it could be a tall order for the U.S. Because I think Colombia is still a very difficult out at the end of the day. And, you know, there's no easy group. There's no easy team in this group. And yet at the same time, the U.S. is still going to be expected, I think, by most, to get out of this group, which is where I think the danger could potentially lie. Because unlike in Brazil, where I think the U.S. was pretty widely written off as not being expected, I think even though this is a tough group, the U.S. is expected to get results against the likes of Paraguay and Costa Rica. But I certainly don't think that's a given.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. And, of course, Costa Rica, their quarterfinal placement in Brazil 2 summers ago, of course, that's a big deal right there. And didn't have a good Gold Cup, but you know what? We'll see what they'll do in this group, especially when they take on the USA, and that should be interesting. Let's go to Group B.
I would just say mm-hmm. on Costa Rica really quickly.
Sure.
I really think Costa Rica is a very organized team, and I think they can take advantage of how slowly the U.S. can move the ball around at times. You know, I was, I'm proud to say my first ever U.S. men national team game was covering the U.S., actually the match right after the Mexico defeat against Costa Rica at Red Bull Arena.
Now, I was there, course, too.
Oh, yeah. Now, of course, obviously the wind was taken a little bit out of the sails, considering the harsh defeat a couple days before, and I think there's a very valid argument that game should not have been played from the U.S. perspective. But I still think that, having watched that game, I thought Costa Rica was the better team, mm-hmm. and I think they create better chances, and they kind of let the U.S. try and create, and I don't think the U.S. really create anything more. And I think Costa Rica were the more productive and more fluid team on the ball. And I'll just say, too, you know, we want to talk about the U.S. and their experience with groups of death. Costa Rica got out of a group that I think was arguably even harder than what the U.S. had in Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
not only that, but they finished first in that group. I mean,
yep.
against the likes of Uruguay, Italy, and England. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. And only lost on penalties to the Netherlands. So, you know, I don't think anyone should be saying that Costa Rica is an easy out for any team.
Oh no, absolutely not. Costa Rica is definitely not an easy out.
They kind of it would be different from them, because compared to Gold Cup, I think here, I mean, they can consider themselves the underdogs, and that kind of proved to be good for them in the World Cup. While in the Gold Cup, everybody was expecting, okay, now they're kind of the best team in the CONCACAF right now, so they should do something better. But they were caught in all this coaching thing with Guanchope and after Pinto left. So, but let's see what they have here for this tournament.
I think there's very few teams that are used to being the favorites and kind of meeting those kind of lofty expectations. And I think when we see teams that kind of go on these magical runs against expectations, you know, make these kind of cup runs, it's then kind of tough for them to follow up in ensuing tournaments when there's higher expectations and more focus on them to do well and continue. So I think that's the case with the U.S., the Costa Rica, and many other teams.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Group B is with Brazil, and that has Ecuador, Haiti, and Peru. While Haiti has shown some, I would say, some sense of coming back to becoming not so much a power in the Caribbean, but at least they're showing a lot of spirit and a lot of heart. I mean, they have more. They got more ways to go, obviously. But the big question is this: can Haiti find a way to upset either Ecuador or Peru for that second spot? Because I think you guys can agree, I think Brazil is going to win that group easily.
Yes, I think Brazil wins that group easily, and I think it sets up what could be a very daunting stretch for the U.S., who could potentially get out of the group, finish second, and then have to deal with Brazil in the first knockout game, which, you know, it was very interesting listening to Jurgen at the Copa America draw, and that he admitted that the team still needs to learn how to, you know, actually win knockout games and, you know, what it takes to, you know, come out on top in those win-or-go-home type matches. And, you know, I know Brazil got absolutely pummeled in the World Cup, and they might not be the same as past teams, but, you know, they're still Brazil. They're still they still have one of the best players in the world. They're still pretty strong team overall. And I think most people are going to expect them to finish first. I know Ecuador. I saw on the SBI projections that they actually have a higher percentage of actually winning the entire Copa America than the U.S. does. And they definitely had some talented players, and they could definitely be a dark horse as a team that could go on a run during the Copa America this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Ecuador is the top team in the CONMEBOL qualifying right now. They beat Argentina in Buenos Aires, and they play very exciting soccer right now. Of course, they take advantage of the altitude of Quito. But for this group, I agree with you guys that Brazil is definitely in the quarterfinals. But it's interesting that the first game is you have Brazil, Ecuador as the first game in the group. And I don't know if Ecuador is going to keep the momentum that they have right now to go for it and try to win the Copa America, something that they had never win before. So, this is a good chance for them. I mean, they have the team, they have the momentum. It's basically, by results, is the best team in South America right now.
Please finish, sorry.
So let's see. I mean, that's going to be if you ask me about best games in the group stage, that besides the United States, Colombia, because that has some history, that still hurts. As a Colombian, that still hurts. And but that Brazil Ecuador is a good match.
I agree with you too. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Ecuador is first in the CONMEBOL qualifiers for the World Cup. And I don't mean to keep going back to Group A, but in fourth place, ahead of the likes of Chile, Argentina, and Colombia is none other than Paraguay, which should be a sign that certainly Paraguay, while maybe a team still in some development, not expected to be a top team, they could definitely prove to be a difficult team. And I think that's a very, impressive place they're in so far. Obviously, we're seeing if they can keep it up and maintain a top four place to automatically qualify for the World Cup. But yes, definitely Ecuador could be a dark horse, and definitely being first in the entire group standings is definitely a sign of they could definitely turn some heads in the States this summer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and at the moment, let's just say for the heck of it, if World Cup qualifying ended today, it would be Ecuador, it would be Brazil, Paraguay, Chile, and Uruguay into the playoff, in the intercontinental playoffs. Argentina would be out.
And so Colombia.
And Colombia.
Yeah, and Colombia, which is right now in seventh place in the CONMEBOL for World Cup qualifying. So, you know, at this moment, it's very interesting to see if, you know, one of the big boys is going to get eliminated in World Cup qualifying. But, you know, like I said, I think Brazil is definitely going to get out of Group B. And I think Ecuador might be able to get out of Group B as well as a second-place team, unless Haiti gives both Ecuador and Peru a real hard time. We'll see what happens. But obviously, I think Brazil will walk away with it. Mexico.
Yeah, one last comment on that. Like, historically, Copa America hasn't been good for Ecuador. It's not a tournament where they feel comfortable. On the contrary, but for Peru, it's definitely a tournament that they like to play, and they've been good historically. So that also counts in these things.
Okay.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, they won the Copa America twice.
Yeah, they've been. I mean, that team, 70s, and most recent, like two Copa Americas ago, they were in the semifinals. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. They haven't been in the World Cup since 1982. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting, and a lot of, you know, that's why we love this game. A lot of intrigue and a lot of fascination of what goes on, boys. I'll tell you. This has been absolutely beautiful to watch, whether it's World Cup qualifying or it's the Copa America or any other tournaments that's out there for world soccer, world football. It's really going to be exciting to see what's going to happen here. Pardon me. So now we go to Group C. We got Mexico, Uruguay, Jamaica, and Venezuela. And, you know, Jamaica, the last time they faced Mexico was in the Gold Cup final, losing 3-0, and obviously Jamaica defeating the United States 2-1 in the semifinals in that Gold Cup last summer. But let's also not forget, Jamaica had a 0-0 draw at the Estadio Azteca in that final round of qualifying for Brazil in the 2014 World Cup back in 2013. So, you know, do we think Jamaica is going to try to get revenge on Mexico? And at the same time, gentlemen, and we'll go with Juan first, I think Uruguay is a threat to the top spot for Mexico in this group. Juan?
Definitely. I think Uruguay is a team to beat here in this group. I mean, Uruguayans is a team. Is the Copa America king? Uruguay is the team that has ruled Copa America. Is the national team with more titles? So you had to respect that. And,
absolutely.
So that's the team to beat. And then one more thing about Jamaica is that they were in Copa America last year, and they had this. They play against Uruguay, Argentina, and Paraguay, and they lost all games. 1-0. That means that was very decent for Jamaica. That was like a great performance by Jamaica in that Copa America. And then we saw what they did in Gold Cup. So I will keep an eye on Jamaica. I think they've been having an interesting generation of players that we know, like Simon Dawkins, Kemar Lawrence, Giles Barnes, all these MLS guys that really could be playing in England's second division. But we are very lucky to have them here in MLS. And I think that's a very interesting team. Jamaica, I would say that basically the team that looks very weak right now from Group C is Venezuela. Because they lost Juan Arango, the new York Cosmos new player. And that was basically Juan Arango is like the Landon Donovan of Venezuela, the best player ever over there. And they just lost him because he quit the national team. So,
oh, did he?
Yeah, he retired from the national team. He's not going to play
Juan Arango. Wow.
Unless he decides to come back. But, like, Venezuela doesn't have Juan Arango anymore. So that could be that's going to be tough for them. And it's been tough. They're not doing good in this qualifying, contrary to what they did in for Brazil 2014. When they were like almost close to get the fifth place in CONMEBOL and surprise the world, but right now is not a good present for Venezuela. So I would say that Mexico has something to with Jamaica to fight there. We'll see. This is not an easy group for Mexico.
Well, I think looking at the teams, I'm gonna first just focus on Uruguay, in that. This was the Copa America Centenario, you know, a celebration of, you know, 100 years of Copa America. So I don't quite understand why the team that's won the most Copa Americas ever wasn't actually a seeded team. In terms of the group, because, you know, I mean, I a seeded team is supposed to be the honor of being the top teams, and I get why you put the Americans, because the Americans are the host, and you always put the host of the seeded nation. But Uruguay, to me, I think had, you know, more to me had more of credence being a seeded team than Brazil, considering that Brazil, you know, hasn't been in a World Cup final like Argentina. And you know, I think, you know, you want to reward the team that really has won the most Copa Americas. So that's just kind of my opinion there with that. You know, Uruguay in general to me has always been kind of one of the more conservative or more European-like of the South American teams than other South American countries, I feel like, in their approach, and that they're a pretty kind of conserved functional side. They keep the ball, they'll play guys behind the ball and kind of absorb pressure, and then they're very kind of dependent on a couple of star players. Now, while of course, you know, Luis Suarez is, you know, arguably one of the best players in the world right now, they don't have Diego Forlán anymore, and I do think that
they have Cavani.
They do, and Cavani, yes, and Cavani. But I do think I know they got out of their group in Brazil, but to me they never particularly looked very inspiring with the way they played that. And I think Colombia really outplayed them in that match. But I did, you know, Uruguay second in CONMEBOL qualifying. They look like they're in strides. Obviously, Suarez is, you know, really playing at a top level, so I could definitely see them finishing first in that group. I think with Jamaica, you know, every U.S. fan was a Reggae Boys supporter for about 90 minutes in the Gold Cup final, and unfortunately, they disappointed. So now there's another opportunity for Jamaica to win the everlasting support and plaudits of all U.S. fans. So, you know.
No, absolutely.
And I think what we saw in the Gold Cup, obviously, in Jamaica's victory over the U.S. and how they played, is that, you know, they're very quick, they're very pacey, and I think they can catch teams off guard. And Obviously, they're a team that, you know, can just, I think surprise you. And I think they could definitely be a tough out. You know, Venezuela, I'm going to admit, I don't know a whole lot. I don't watch them regularly. The only thing I'll say is I kind of wish, considering that they're dead last in CONMEBOL qualifying, would it be the worst thing to see Alejandro Moreno put on boots again and play for them? Because I never got to actually see him play. So, you know, I just...
He's better as an MLS player than a Venezuelan national teamer. That's all I can say. And no offense, okay, Alejandro, but I respect you in MLS, but in the national team qualifying, no. But anyway, my two cents on this group is this. We're going to see the revenge of Luis Suarez when he steps on the field back in Uruguayan kit, because we all know what happened with Chiellini from Italy in that final group stage match, biting his shoulder, of course.
Yep.
We're definitely going – I mean, he's doing very well for Barcelona, obviously, and he's been playing very well. But I guarantee you, Uruguay – and I know Juan will agree with me on this. And look, nothing against Colombia, nothing against Brazil or Argentina, but I love the way Uruguay plays. I love their technical abilities. I love their pace. You really can see the gracefulness coming from Uruguay when they play like a real team out there, because they're just so good. So good.
They never die.
No, they never do. They never die. And this is where, you know, if this is a, I wouldn't say it's a dark horse, but if you're looking for a third place team or a third team that can knock off either Brazil or Argentina, Uruguay would be that team. And if they are going to be picked to win this Copa America, this 100th centenario tournament, you know, put your money down, because they're going to be awesome. And like I said before, if they're going to take on Mexico, which it looks like is going to be the first match of that group, Mexico's in deep trouble, because I think Uruguay is going to take them down. And take them down hard.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how much of an underdog Uruguay is, but I actually think a lot of people are going to pick them to win the tournament.
Yeah,
not an underdog at all in my book. But go ahead, Juan.
One thing with Mexico is this is going to be Juan Carlos Osorio big test.
Uh huh.
And also, one thing that had my attention is that they're going to have Chicharito Hernandez in good form.
Yes.
Like, you know, very good form. He's not like the bench guy, the super sub that he was in Man U and Real Madrid. This is a guy that is scoring goals finally in Europe.
Yep.
And it seems that he's in a time where he can really carry his team, be the general of Mexico. You know, this time we'll see what happens. But it seems that he's in his best. Years right now, or best months, I guess. So that could be interesting for Mexico, being carried by a guy that is in very good spirits right now.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. I think, yes, he's definitely in top form as well. And, you know, remembering how Mexico won at the Rose Bowl against the U.S., you know, I was particularly impressed with, you know, really how I think they dominated that match in terms of possession. They really took it to the U.S. I think they had some defensive lapses that the U.S. took quite opportunistically advantage of. But I do, you know, I am interested in seeing, you know, how the, Mexico continues to progress now under a new manager, which, of course, it seems like every other week they have a new manager. And, you know, I think they're definitely could be another team that, you know, I saw the SBI projections, and they they said that both the U.S. and Mexico had a 6% chance of winning. And I'd slightly disagree with that. I think Mexico has a better chance of winning than the U.S.
Well, let me just say this. You know, there's always been these great matches with the USA and Mexico, whether it's a friendly World Cup qualifying, of course, the round of 16 match in South Korea back in 2002 World Cup, including the CONCACAF Cup that gave up the Confederations Cup spot. And the one thing about Javier Hernandez, about Chicharito, is that, you know, he was being lumped, in my opinion, of course, he was being lumped in when he made that move from Man United, or let's just say after Sir Alex Ferguson retired, because it was actually Sir Alex that gave Chicharito an opportunity, and he's not a super sub. We all agree about that. He's definitely not a super sub. But at least Sir Alex Ferguson gave confidence to Javier Hernandez that he was going to dominate the Premier League. And then when he retired, and then the changing of managers really doomed him, and then going to Real Madrid, and they have way too many superstars. I mean, someone, unfortunately, was going to draw the short straw. And unfortunately, that was Chicharito. And now he's over at Bayer Leverkusen, and he's just, like Juan said, he's exploded. He's scoring. He's doing everything for Leverkusen, and now they are starting to become, I guess, in the conversations, it's not just between Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga. Now you got Bayer Leverkusen in the discussion, like what Atletico Madrid was doing for both Real Madrid and Barcelona. It's a three-horse race now in the Bundesliga, like it is in La Liga. And I really think, and I'm happy for him, because now you're seeing what he can really do and what he can do for Mexico, that he's not only getting the proper minutes, they're giving him the opportunity to do something, and he's just riding it all the way through, Juan. It's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to just very quickly say about Chicharito in terms of his time with United. He obviously always kind of had the difficulty of first playing kind of behind Rooney when Rooney was still really in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course playing behind Van Persie, when Van Persie pretty much single-handedly won United the Premier League title in 2012-13. And I'll just say that, you know, Chicharito definitely had his opportunities, I think, to become more of a regular with United. I don't think he quite earned it, because outside of being an effective poacher, he's not great at linking up with others, and he doesn't always track back. And I feel like he was someone who was never quite good enough to supplant the likes of Rooney or Van Persie. Now, that's really not an insult, because I do think that he just had the misfortune of playing behind two forwards who were at the top of their game. But I do feel like now that he's kind of with Leverkusen, where he is the guy on that team, and he, you know, also, unlike being with Manchester United in their later years, is actually playing behind a good team that can give him a proper ball service, I think he's taking advantage of that. So,
yep. Go ahead, Juan.
I kind of just expect that Mexico to be in second place or first place in this group and, like,
mm-hmm.
trying to advance. I mean, they're going to have a lot of fans with them. So it's the other home team in the tournament. So
that's very true.
Yes.
We cannot deny that one. And, like, let's see. They've been close to win Copa America. They've been runners-up two times. They've been the runner-up, so let's see how it goes for them. I mean, I expect that they want to win this tournament.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And the final group, of course, revenge comes early. Argentina seeded in Group D in number one against Chile, who won the Copa America last year, and Panama representing CONCACAF, Bolivia in the final, I think we can definitely say unless Panama can throw a monkey wrench into this, let's be honest with ourselves here. Depending on who wins that match or if it's a draw, Argentina and Chile, the revenge will begin early. And, of course, I think those are the two sides that are definitely going to advance out of that group. Michael, how do you see it?
Well, I think when you look at Argentina and Chile, those are two of the biggest teams where I think you can kind of wonder what kind of teams what they're going to bring to the tournament. Because for Chile, who just won the Copa America last year, you know, are they going to bring their A squad again after having played in the World Cup and then winning last summer's Copa America for another Copa America when they're already in the Confederations Cup next year? And I think if you want to look at like an example of overexhaustion and playing a player too much, I think maybe one of the better examples could be of the downsides of that could be what we've seen from Alexis Sanchez this year, because I think the injury he sustained in last summer's Copa America, you know, has kind of affected his confidence a little bit this past season with Arsenal in terms of his ability and being able just to perform at the best possible level. And I do think that could be a little bit of a cautious warning to these other countries, you know, bringing their top players when they've haven't had a break really since the summer of 2013. That being said, of course, this is still a prestigious tournament, and you know, Chile and Argentina are, you know, and the other big teams are going to, you know, bring their C teams. And of course, for Messi, who, you know, the reports and the speculation say that he is going to take part in it, which, you know, would be a lot considering what he's done over the last couple of years, you know, being able to, I think, finally silence those very small group of haters who still say that Maradona will always be better because Maradona won something with Argentina. So I think he would just relish the opportunity of just winning something with Argentina, because I think it's, you know, it's always kind of fair to say that, you know, he's always just been surrounded by a better team with the Barca set up than with Argentina. And, you know, where he, I think he's got kind of, he does, you know, world-class players and world-class ball delivery around. Not saying that Argentina doesn't deliver the ball well to him and others, but I just think, you know, it's still not quite as good as, you know, the Barca club team. And I think, you know, maybe taking advantage of maybe this Copa America where we, you know, it might not be the most seriously contested by every team. You know, this could be an opportunity for him to just win something with Argentina. And, you know, obviously for Argentina, you know, who has now lost a World Cup final and the Copa America final in back-to-back summers, you know, I think winning something could, you know, just kind of move on from that disappointment could be good for the spirit.
I think this is a great chance for Argentina to win a tournament after, well, it's going to be a long time for them, well, like 20 years since the last time they won an official tournament. Then it was Copa America in 1993, the last time. So it's been a while. They won the Olympics, but that doesn't count. And I really, on a personal level, I wish Leo Messi wins Copa America, wins his first official or semi-official trophy here, national level trophy in the United States, so he feels the love of the American public, and he falls in love with the American fans. So he decided to play for MLS when he is 50 years old, and he was dominated at that time as well. So I really want Leo to have a good time in America. So
that's right.
Maybe we can benefit in the future for that. And as for Chile, Yeah, they are the champions, but they just recently had a coaching change. Very important thing, because it's Sampaoli, and Sampaoli, you know, is a disciple of Marcelo Bielsa.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that Chile could be in a could be changing the system. And it could be with a new, I think the new coach is Juan Antonio Pizzi. He was there at the draw. It's gonna be a different story, and he's gonna be trying to look for his. I think in, for Copa America, it's gonna be a lab. It's gonna be a laboratory for him to find players for what he wants Chile to play and to do in the rest of the qualifying. So. That's the only note that I would put in Chile. They have great players that right now. They have Vidal, they have Alexis, but they're gonna be they're gonna leave some changes in the coming months. So let's see what happens with them.
Yeah,
I think it'd be huge if Messi wins his first international tournament in the United States. I mean the brand marketers would be swooning.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. And I, you know, with all that change, of course, and, you know, with Chile going on and everything that's happening all over the game. And we just have to see, you know, what's going to happen now. The schedule's out. The 10 cities or areas that we're going to have these matches at will be at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois. MetLife Stadium representing East Rutherford, New Jersey, and New York City. Foxborough's Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. The University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. The Citrus Bowl down in Orlando, Florida. The Rose Bowl at Pasadena. Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Levi's Stadium, the new home of the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara. And CenturyLink Field in Seattle, Washington. The 10 stadiums in the cities that will have Copa America matches, group stage matches, knockout stage matches. The final, once again, on Sunday, June 26th at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and outside New York City. Okay, gentlemen, real quickly, who, once again, finishes top two in all four groups and goes to the quarterfinals? Let's go ahead with let's start how they do the draw. In for this Copa America, we'll start with D, and then we'll go straight to A. So I guess why not? You know, it's their tournament. Why not? We'll do it the way they do it. Win in Rome. I think it's a no-brainer. Argentina and Chile are going to get out of Group D, gentlemen. Michael, then Juan.
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much what everyone would say. I do think Panama. Who is a bit of a snake-bitten team in recent times, could be a difficult out in that group. I don't think Bolivia is going to offer too much, and I definitely see Argentina and Chile being the two out of that group. I think it will go as expected.
Juan?
I go with Argentina and Chile as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do I. I mean, I think that's really the top two sides, and we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen in that first group stage match. Mexico, Uruguay for Group C to advance to the quarterfinals. I think we also agree that Uruguay will win this group, and Mexico will probably finish second. Juan, then Michael.
I will put Mexico first and then Uruguay second.
Oh,
maybe Mexico. I think Mexico could beat Uruguay in the group stage.
Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of tend to agree with Juan. I could see Mexico starting out hot, coming in first, but I could also kind of see Uruguay, because they're an experienced team that knows how to win these kind of cup tournaments. Maybe not peaking too early and kind of, you know, finishing second and playing better as the tournament progresses and such like that. But I could definitely see Mexico won your grade two.
All right. And Group B, unless Haiti finds a way to stump Ecuador or Peru, definitely Brazil will win the group. But I guess I'm going to have to say it's a toss-up between Ecuador and Haiti, in my opinion. I don't know what Peru is going to do. I don't think Peru has much to deal with or to give. So I'll just say for now, the safe bet would be Brazil, of course, and Ecuador getting out of the group. Go ahead, Michael, and then Juan.
Well, I think certainly Brazil and Ecuador are the two best teams, certainly two teams in momentum right now. And you know, I think Haiti is just a nice story that they're there. And I think any positive results would be that they get, I think would be great for the team in the country. Peru, of course, you know, could be a dark horse team, certainly. I think they could definitely surprise. They've, as Juan has said, they've done well in past Copa Americas, and I think they could definitely shock. But right now, I'm gonna go with my gut, which is Brazil and Ecuador.
Juan?
And I will go with Brazil and Ecuador, yeah, because of the momentum. I mean, Ecuador has a good chance, and they had a good they're going to play in MetLife Stadium. That's like, you can bring some people there. And
yep.
So the community is huge here. Well, the Peruvian community is huge too. So, they're going to have some support. But, yeah, I think for the momentum, and because Peru will be doing some experiments, and I don't expect them to be in the quarterfinals. So Brazil first, Ecuador second.
Okay. And finally, the United States, Colombia, Costa Rica, and Paraguay. You know, we need to see what the USA can do if they can get to the knockout stage. And, you know, there's no round of 16 anymore. You go right to the quarterfinals in this one. You know, this is really the best two of the three in this group right now, if you really want to say this. I'm going to have to say the United States, and I'll say Colombia as well. I think Colombia and United States will get out of this group. Costa Rica might have some issues. You never know. They could sneak out of it, and it could be Costa Rica and Colombia. But at the moment, I'm going to go with USA, Colombia, and it all depends on what the USA is going to do in that second group stage match against Costa Rica. Juan first, and then Michael to finish this off.
You know what? I'm going this is going to surprise you, and we might review this in July. but I'm going with U.S. and Paraguay.
Wow! Look at that! That's amazing.
I like that.
Juan, I you must be near Vegas, boy. I tell you.
I'm just having this 1994 memory, so it's hard to live with that.
You know, Paraguay is ahead of all the teams in the Commonwealth qualifying standings. You know, I think they definitely can surprise. And the
coach is very tricky, Ramon Diaz. Ramon Diaz, who was the partner in crime with Jurgen Klinsmann in Internazionale de Milan,
really?
Back in the late 80s. That was the tandem, the attacking tandem,
wow.
Ramon Diaz and Jurgen Klinsmann. So.
Well, wow, I never knew that. Well, okay, you got USA and Paraguay. Michael, real quickly, your two picks, just give me two teams.
Oh, I don't want to pick this group, Dan.
Look,
you're going to hold me on record. Like, can we change and a couple, you know?
Fine, I'll give you one, and I'll leave the other one alone. How's that?
No. This. I mean, this is obviously the toughest one to pick, and this is a tough one. I'm gonna say the U.S. first. Ooh.
Come on.
Hurry. I'm gonna say Costa Rica second.
All right, USA and Costa Rica.
It's a good one.
Sports. All right, gentlemen. I appreciate gentlemen. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much for being on tonight's show. And of course, you can hear post game shows of the Copa America Centenario right here on the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Juan Mesa, Michael Schwartz, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time, and I'll definitely talk to you down the road. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Daniel. It was great, and thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Pleasure to be on the show, and I hope to be on again soon. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. Have a good night, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Their special Copa America Centenario draw review for Juan Mesa and for Michael Schwartz. I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thanks for listening to me again tonight. Join me this Friday, CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinal first leg review this Friday night. As always, enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night and take care. Bye-bye.